Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back this evening. It is Monday, the 18th of April, 2016, 8 p.m., and we are live. If you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636 and press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation and share your insights. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Godly Father. We're going to talk about some of the principles. We're going to talk about some of the things we're going to touch on as godly fathers. And to encourage the men out there, you know, young fathers that are out there, you know, your children are still young and might be a little bit overwhelmed with the responsibility. But we just wanted to talk today a little bit about encouraging. And then also for our young men out there who someday you're going to grow up and be fathers, we wanted to lay a foundation for you, a little bit of give you some insights, some foundation and things to think about as you begin your adult life and go into fatherhood and marriage and as a husband, and some of the responsibilities we need to think about that young men need to think about, and also from some men's just, you know, you need encouragement in some areas, because sometimes it can be tough being a father and to the children, especially if you have a multitude of children or just one. Just sometimes what God gives you and puts in your life, it can be challenging. And we just want to share some words of encouragement today and insights and touch on some of the biblical principles of what it means to be a father. Because, you know, sometimes in this culture, we know that some young men are not raised with fathers and raised with men in their lives. Or then they might have been raised with a father, but they didn't pick up those godly traits and those principles because for whatever reason. So we're going to touch on some of that today in the conversations. So first we're going to open up with prayer. With scripture and then in prayer, and then we'll get right into the conversation. Amen. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. We come to you with a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving, Lord God. A heart, oh God, that knows, oh God, that you are the creator of the universe, oh God. You're the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You're the keeper, oh God, of this universe. You're the creator of this universe, oh God. And Father, we thank you today, oh God, for what you've done, oh God, for your son, Jesus Christ, oh God, for his shed blood, oh God, for his sacrifice on the cross, oh God, for us, for our sins, oh God. And he took the punishment that we were meant to have. But God, because you sent your son in the body of a man to suffer and be crucified for our failure and our sins, God, we say thank you today, Lord God, that we might be redeemed, oh God, and be seen as righteous in your sight. Father, continue to give us blessings. Continue to guide us, oh God. Strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we have a couple announcements. I'm going to share some things going on here. And this is Christian Men's Talk. First, I'm going to give a shout-out to Married Men Making a Difference, Men's Fellowship, and an annual bonfire. And that's going to be held on Saturday, April the 30th, 2016, from 4 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And it's going to be held in Baltimore, Maryland, at the 602 South Chapel Gate Lane in Baltimore, Maryland. You can call 443-630-9197 to get information, reservations, and also you can go to the website. You can register on the website at eventbrite.com and search MMMAD Bonfire. That's Married Men Making a Difference Bonfire. Again, or you can just call Brother Derek Sell at 443-630-9197. Amen. And that's going to be a good time there. We have fellowship, friends, and food and beverages, and we're going to discuss some of the things that, you know, that married men deal with. We also invite young single men to come because you hear some of the things, and again, in preparation for marriage or in preparation to have a wife and to love a wife and build a home with a wife. So we encourage the single men. It's for 18 and up. You want to come, share, get some wisdom, hear something that might encourage you, and know that all marriages do not fail. But all marriages do take work. And we as God, men of God, must be able to work in our marriages. And sometimes it means that love needs to sacrifice. Amen. And that's some of the things we're going to talk about there. So we encourage you to come out and join us for that. Also, you can contact us on Issues Christian Men's Talk. We have a Facebook page. We invite you to come on there. You can see the link. You see also the information about the upcoming bonfire and all other local men's ministry events coming up in the local area. We share it there, and also you can reach out to us if you have ideas about topic ideas for our show, or you'd like to be a guest on our show. Contact us there. Well, tonight we're going to get into the subject. We're into about a godly father. Oh, let me give also I want to give a shout out to a couple ministries. In our recent men's fellowship, we had a gathering of men, and I just want to give a shout out to a couple of ministries here. City for Life International Worship Center. That's my home church. The pastor is Bishop Joseph A. McCargo. And the men there, Uplift Through the Word Ministries, we oversee Maurice Cornwell and his men. Pastor, in the mind, the name just slipped me, but I got him. Pastor John Watts for Kingdom Life Ministries in Brooklyn, Maryland, joined us. And Pastor Otter, Bonamus Otter from Victory Christian Fellowship, and it's in Edgewood, Maryland. They joined us there, and also Elder Rondell Hall from Church of the Redeemed of the Lord was there with some of his men. So we just want to give them a constant shout out and thank them for coming out and blessing them. And I thank those brothers a great deal for participating. Amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about being a godly father. Let's begin. We're going to begin with what it means to truly be a father. And one of the scriptures I want to touch on to get us started tonight is going to be 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Let's hold on a minute here because I have an old paper Bible, so I'll take a moment here and turn the pages. Amen. All right, here we go. Starting at verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So that scripture there points out the responsibility of a man and a father and parents in general, but tonight we're talking specifically about fathers because we believe that parenting takes two. It takes a mother and a father. But it's a responsibility of the father to provide materially for his children. And that sometimes there's a balance there that we have to learn sometimes. Being young fathers, you know, fathers in your 20s, and you want to give your children everything. And as they get into toddlers and elementary school, I think we're going to provide all their material needs. But when we talk about that, we have to have wisdom when we do that because we can't give them everything. We can't just give them too much stuff. But the basics should be provided. And I have this discussion a lot with young men, especially when we try to minister to young fathers who are not necessarily married, the children's mother, and they struggle with child support or trying to make money and giving her money. But if we take the godly view that we're just going to provide. And, you know, in the past we have talked to men and brothers who are dealing with child support issues. And sometimes you just have to take a step back because we know that a lot of times there's a lot of emotion that deals with that. But if we have a heart set, because I believe it's a heart set, it's an issue where we have to come to a compromise, come to an understanding, and come to, and be at a level of that we're supporting and taking care of our kids. And sometimes, you know, I hear a lot of brothers say that they take care of their kids, but the real test of that is if you're taking care of your children, it's not something you have to really say. It can be seen in your practice. It can be seen in your character. It can be seen in your behavior. Amen. But when we're talking about that, we're talking about providing food and clothing and shelter. Those are the basic things for their physical needs, you know. But also, we have to be able to teach our children the value of money as they grow older. And I think that's one of the things that we tend to forget about when we talk about providing materials. Because if our children don't really know the value of things, that can come back to haunt them later in life. And understand where money comes from. It's not. You know, I remember once one of my children, when they were young, when we had ATMs, they would ask me for money, and then they would just say, just go to the bank and get it. So they just think, we just go to the bank, go to the machine, and the money comes out. And that's how they saw it. And that's one of the dangers that we have, to also, as we provide for our kids, let them understand the value of it. And nothing is it just doesn't happen. Let them understand their work and that you have a job, you have a career. And sometimes even as fathers, we have to share what we do in our work environment? How do we earn money to come into the house, to be able to pay the bills, to pay to go shopping? You know, at a certain, it comes to a certain time and age in our children's life, we have to understand when we go into the grocery store that things cost, and there's limits and boundaries and budgets. And I think the earlier that we as fathers, we teach that and learn that and bring that principle into our homes, that our children will value and put, they won't have a great value of material things, but they'll understand what it means. And they would honor the nature of work because they understand that we go out, we work every day. You know, whatever our jobs is, if we're employers, employees, or laborers, or whatever we do, they understand that work brings an income, and it provides. And it provides the basic necessities. And that's something that many of our children have a sort of view of what value, what things really cost. You know, they know they just live in a house. This is their home. This is their, you know, this is where they live. And they don't really understand what it means to have, you know, to pay rent, or pay the mortgage, or what it is to have an electric bill and the cable and the internet. At a certain age, the internet is just magic to them. They go to their laptop, they go to their tablet, and it's just on. But they don't realize what it costs. And I know some places, especially here in Maryland, but I know some folk who live in other cities that, you know, just basic cable and basic internet is expensive. It's over $100, $150 a month. So, you know, our children need to know that at a certain age, they need to know the value of things and understand that when we talk about provide material things for our children, we have to also realize that we have to find a balance in our lives where we're not working so hard or working so many hours to provide material things that our children we're neglecting our time with them and that true time to sow and seed into their lives. And then, unfortunately, some fathers, because of their situations or some things they just don't understand, they buy their children off with things. They want the love of their child, so they give them everything they want. And the child grows up not understanding what no means, and that they can't have everything they see. Because as we know, the media and the culture today has a consumer mentality, and they on purpose try to entice us with, especially our children. And those who are immature entice us with everybody's got to have this, or everybody has it, or everybody needs it. You know, I had a conversation recently with a brother talking about, he was five or six-year-old. It was a young child in elementary school. And they just had to have a cell phone because everyone else had one. And that was a discussion we had at one of the men's things. And those are the things that we have to deal with because, again, we have to make the decision. You know, because we open up and expose our children to a lot of stuff with the technology. And that's why we have to be able to be have it under control. It's just not buy them a phone and they get it. And they don't understand that the phone bill is connected with that. Because I remember when cell phones first began, those old plans, you had limited minutes. So if you started using up minutes and had roaming minutes and all these other things, and then you end up having monthly cell phone bills of $200 because, you know, our kids were texting. And a lot of us don't know, but back in the day, it wasn't an unlimited text and messaging. Back then, and unlimited data, that was all paid by usage. And the company, and the cell phone companies, for example, just made a lot of money off people and ran up bills on people. But again, us as fathers, as leaders of the home, these are the opportunities we have to teach our children the value of money and finance so that they understand that life, you know, at a certain age now, I'm not going to say we're going to buffet our children at a young age with it, but as they get older, we have to start to show them that things have value. And that's one of the things as we also for us to provide materially, because again, we're starting a process of teaching them finances and how to control money and let money control them so that later on in life, they would have that grasp and know they can't have everything they see and what credit is for and all those things that trap us. That get people trapped and tied up and locked and tangled up in bad financial decisions. So when I talk about that material thing, that's part of it. I really do believe that it's important. Amen. Wait a minute. So the next part we're going to talk about tonight, I want to bring out, again, if you're listening online, if you call in at 646-668-2636, just press 1 on your keypad if you want to share your insights and join the conversation. We appreciate it, your insights and your inputs. Also, let me let you know that you can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com / Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the rebroadcast of this show and the archive of all our past shows. And also there you can click on the follow button and you'll get an update on your email or on your Facebook page when we're broadcasting or downloading new shows. And again, we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. So we encourage you to come and join us and call in and add your voice and your wisdom to the conversations. Amen. But the next scripture, the next section I want to talk about too as a godly father is bring our children up in nurturing and admonition of the Lord. And I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter number 6 real quick to give us a starting point, a kickoff point here on what the Word of God says in this discussion. I'm going to start at verse number 1. So it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse number 4. And you, father, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. And that, you know, that says a lot in that scripture for fathers, for what we have to do with our children. Because nurturing and admonition of the Lord, you know, as you look back, I know a lot of men, and myself wasn't raised in the church, we pick up a lot of habits from our parents and our fathers. As sons, we sometimes struggle with trying not to be like our father, but a lot of the habits we pick up and our tendencies we pick up from our fathers. Because that's what we do as young boys. We glean off their fathers. So for fathers, we have a very important position in our sons' lives in those formative years, and to nurture them. And in nurturing, it means to train and educate our children and cultivate their minds, set their moral standards, plant the seeds of purpose in them and reproof and punishment. And these are some of the things that we have to do because we're shaping the characters of our children. And as fathers, that's our greatest responsibility. We're talking about nurturing. And we, as godly men, our standard is the Word of God. So it's not so much having our kids memorize Scripture, memorize all the books of the Bible, and, you know, all those other things, but it's showing them how to apply that to their life, that they have a basis for their foundation, that they have something. They have a basis and a strong foundation and understanding of the Word at all ages. I mean, we're not going to necessarily do it at once, but at a young age, toddler, when they first start to read the Word, that we as fathers take responsibility to set the standard in their mind and help their minds understand the simple principles. We come alongside the church. We come alongside the children's ministry and help and plant our seeds in our homes, because we have to make our homes a place where the Word of God is applied and understood. Because again, you know, like I always say, you know, as men and as fathers and husbands, we set the temperature in the home. We set the atmosphere. And we have to be in a place where we can set an atmosphere. But that means that we have to be in the Word. We have to have an understanding of the Word. And in a way to, again, to nurture our children in the Word. Because we can look around today in the culture and society, a lot of things that young men get into is because that's what they were nurtured in. That's what they were taught. Their moral standards, where they got them from their family. So it's a lot that we have to consider, especially when we do evangelism, when we go out and try to minister the gospel of truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ to folk, that folk are sometimes already set in their ways, and their standards may be sinful or may not be sinful. But that's the way they were grown. That's the way they were raised. So, you know, everyone is raised and nurtured a certain way. But as men of God, our standard is the Word of God. And then from that, we are able to translate that to our children and give them an understanding and set them in a place where they understand the Word, that they can live that thing out and we can see it prosper. Because again, and our children at a certain age, we're planting seeds in them. And we're just waiting that through the Holy Spirit and through God's purpose and plan, through His might and His grace, that they will grow. But we have to have a standard. We have to be the standard bearers. And the Word is our standard. So we nurture and provide for them their physical needs, their mental, social needs, and the spiritual training. I mean, that's something we talk a lot about. I, you know, I've talked to men of a certain age who have adult children who've been in the church. They may not have been raised in the church themselves, but they've been in the body of Christ and since they were children, were young. And some of the regrets was that, you know, they shared that, you know, they regret they wasn't more involved in the spiritual growth, that they turned a lot of it over to the youth pastors and the youth ministry and children's church, and they didn't take time. Because sometimes, at the same time, your children at a certain age, you're at your peak earning or your career progression on your job or, you know, and there's a lot of pressures and a lot of things going on, you know, and with your marriage and your wife and some of the things we think it's getting done, and then we have to come and we don't really check behind it. It's the same principle as when we send our children to school for their education. We have to go to PTA meetings. We have to go to, you know, teacher parent nights and all those things. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. You just have to be able to come alongside and help with the homework. Because I say, you know, I always say, you know, in Christianity, in this Christian walk, it's just, you know, it's what sometimes we just have to continue to be able to move and be able to just continue to teach and sow into their lives. So that's something we have to talk that we talk about a lot and in men's groups and continue to try and just, you know, foster that encouragement to be part of their children's life and their spiritual growth. The children can also be taught in the ways of the Lord. It talks about it in Proverbs 22:6. The principle is also emphasized in Deuteronomy, and if God has given the primary responsibility of education of the children is at home. And, you know, sometimes, again, as I mentioned it earlier, that it's sometimes we give it over to the church and to the youth ministries. And, you know, at one of our men's events and one of our men's fellowships, we challenged some men that to be part of the children's church. You know, look at the church. You know, we said it seems like the children's church and the youth ministry is all run by women for whatever reason. That you're not engaged and we're not involved in that area, in that shaping and molding where the children can see a godly man in teaching, in interacting in the church and teaching the scriptures and mentoring and shaping them. Because, again, when a man is in a room, it's for children and for young people. It's an atmosphere where there's men there and women there. And I'm not saying that all, you know, it's the women shouldn't be there, but again, these are opportunities as us, as men of God in the body of Christ, to be able to see that balance. Because if we really look at it, our children and all their training and educations, there's a lot of female influence. There's teachers and supposed to teachers in the public schools, or most schools are female teachers, and you see very rarely that there's male teachers, and they're only in certain subjects or certain areas, and they're far and few between. But in the body of Christ, with us being men and being husbands and fathers in the church, those are opportunities where we get to be involved in that and growth and development in our children and also all the children in the community and in the body of Christ. And they see men in that role as teacher, as an authority figure in the room and teaching and interacting with them and fellowshipping with them, seeing what it means to be a man of God. Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And we're talking tonight about being a godly father. And so far we talked about providing materially and also being a father and raising up our children and nurturing and in the Lord and in the things of God and teaching scripture, taking that time to teach them and educate them and plan and shape and mold their character. And cultivating their minds with the word of God, cultivating their minds with the wisdom that we have. And also, at those formative years, setting moral standards and boundaries in their lives so that they know what's right and wrong. We can't just assume that our children will know what right and wrong is unless we instill it in them and teach them. You know, there's something he used to say a lot. You know, we tell our children, you know better than that, but we have to realize and be honest with ourselves. If they really knew better, would they have really done it? Well, we assume we told them and we assume they got it, but they still made the wrong choice. Sometimes it's choices and sometimes it's just they didn't know. And they moved by their emotions or their flesh or whatever motivated and moved them. Amen. And then it went wrong and it went bad. And then we as fathers and parents are there to try and fix it, try and, you know, save them, try and correct it and bring it back in line. Amen. That's also one of our responsibilities. So God has given the primary responsibility for educating the children was the home and not necessarily the church. And that goes for, you know, especially the biblical education, that we have to be, again, we have to be students of the word. The scripture talks about being studied and show ourselves approved, and that is our first opportunity. And a man should be able to teach in his own home. And I, you know, I used to tell brothers all the time, I mean, you can start with the Sunday sermon, because I can guarantee you, you heard it one way, your wife heard it another way, and your kids might have just got a point. But that's the conversation starter. That's a teaching moment to see what everybody heard from the preached word for that given Sunday, that given week, or in a Bible study. Or even if your children are part of the children's church and the youth group and in the high school group, find out what they're learning in there from them. See what they heard, what they learned, and how to apply it. Because mentoring and discipling starts in the home. That is the first place it should start. And us as men of God, as fathers, as godly fathers, we should be able to follow up, if not initiate, but definitely follow up and support what's being taught in the local church. So that way that we know that our children have understanding. And we just don't leave it to them and then assume they know and they find out they don't. Then they just know elementary. And we have to be able to take our children from the elementary to a greater and deeper understanding. But again, being born again means we are born. And with anything that is born and birth, the expectation is growth. And that's just a natural thing. That's the way God created it. So we have to be able to nurture that growth and cultivate that growth in the things of God for our children. And other things we have to teach them is moral responsibility. We talk about children needing to be taught to respect their parents. That doesn't necessarily come. As anyone who has had a two-year-old, they know that no is one of their favorite words at a certain age. There's a season where no becomes a certain thing, where their disobedience uprises early. But again, we have to be able to correct that. We have to be able to nurture it, to be able to stand as fathers and parents through the season and through that. Because some of it, they really don't know what no means, but it just becomes that word, that form of disobedience. Also, our children have to understand, that, again, I talked about this earlier, but the value of work and what it means to work and how things happen. And that goes back to chores. You know, our children have to, again, learn to value that it takes, you have to be a participant in society to get something from society. It's not all going to come without any work, without putting their hands to something or contributing. Let me say contributing, because chores is contributing to the maintenance and upkeep of the home. Because again, if they don't know how to do that, you know, I've known brothers back in the day who, you know, they were raised a certain way and they couldn't even do their own laundry when they got a certain age. So, you know, these are the things we have to teach. They couldn't even know how to really clean or wash dishes or keep a house straight or do laundry. All those things that sometimes we take for granted depending on how you were raised, but some folks don't ever learn that at home. And that's the responsibility as parents and fathers that we are given to. I talked about it earlier also, the proper use of money, understanding the value of money, that money doesn't, you know the old saying, money doesn't grow on trees, but however, we have to know where money comes from and what it takes to get money. And when you have money, the value of things. We there's a lot of talk and ridicule about the value of clothes and sneakers and paying $200 for sneakers. Well, again, they were taught a certain way that having these things and material gain gives them a certain level of prestige. They can say they don't know that got it or everybody has it or all these other things. But again, that comes from the home. They get that again. When we look at what the culture does and what goes on, these things are taught behaviors. And they were taught by their parents, they were taught by culture, they were succumbed by culture or whatever, they were manipulated by the media. But again, in the home, where we have them at an early age, we have to teach them that value of what things really cost and why would you spend that much on a specific thing that's going to wear out. You know, it's a balancing act, you know. Depending on where you are, again, but it is another thing too. We don't go out and try and achieve to get one thing and put yourself in debt, where you're lacking in another area. So that comes back to budgeting and finance and knowing what you can afford. And that a lot of that comes from knowing what the value of money is. You know, we talk about the brothers now, you know, working and working, paying bills, and living paycheck to paycheck. So if they miss a paycheck, they get sick, they have no foundation, they have nothing to fall back on because they haven't planned and had a vision for what's going on. So those are the things we're responsible for in teaching our children. When we're talking about nurturing and raising them in the admonition of the Lord, these are some of the areas. When we take the small brush and look at it with a fine brush instead of broad brushing it, these are some of the things we have to think about as fathers. Amen. Also, as fathers, you know, and as parents, that our children get their ideas and their understanding of what it means to be husband and wife from watching us, from watching their mother and their father, how their relationship grows, how their relationship. What goes on in the home, you know, it's the old saying, whatever goes on behind closed doors, the children see that more than they see the example that you set on the outside, how people see you when you're in public and how you truly are in private. And our children see that. And that's one of our responsibilities as fathers, and especially as fathers, how we treat our children's mother. Now, because of the way the culture is today, we have to say this. The way that you treat the mother of your children is important. And with the things you say and the things you do is very important, especially in the raising of your son. Because he's going to glean off of that thing. He's going to learn from what you do. No matter what you say, he's going to glean, and that's how he thinks he should treat and speak and treat women. So we have to be as men, as fathers. If you're married to the mother or not, you have to consider how we speak and how we treat and the thing that how we handle their mothers. And for our married couples, it's, you know, we have to understand that we have to know that marriage is permanent, the sanctity of marriage, that, you know, there's no reason that marriage is forever. I know that's hard. That's a hard word now in this culture and time. Even in the church sometimes, but marriage is forever. The two people are committed together, as God put them together. There's always a way to work out. And I do believe strongly that sometimes it's about compromise. It's about sacrifice. It's about coming together, being on one accord. That's a whole marriage discussion. Maybe another show. But when it comes to our kids, they need to see the structure. Or what it means to be a mother and a father, husband and wife. Again, they're gleaning from us. They're watching. They're seeing how it goes through difficult times. It goes to good times, goes to bad times, and how we treat one another. So it's important that we do that. Also, and one of the other things we talk about in bringing up our children and nurturing admonition of the Lord is the need to be faithful servants of the Lord, being obedient to the gospel, living a godful life, faithful. And faithful to the word of God, faithful to the learning of the word of God, faithful to the church that we're church members, faithful to the body, on how they see us, how we relate to the other people in the church, how the church is truly a family. You know, the church is called a lot of things, but the church most of all is a family. It's a family, and we have that those relationships and those connections with one to another, and our kids again they learn that. Church atmosphere, the flavor of a church, by how their parents, you know, are their parents involved with other adults in the church, other married couples? Do they get along with people in the church? You know, they see how we interact, and sometimes that helps them to interact with their peer level, with their group, with their peer group, that we all get along, that there's a compromise. There's not the backbiting and gossiping and angry words and the selfishness and things that go on. That can really destroy a church and make the whole church experience not a loving atmosphere. And also, and being faithful to the Lord. We're obedient to the gospel. We're obedient to the word. And that goes back to we have to be able to teach our children that we apply the word, we understand the word, and we're teaching them how to walk it out and apply the word to their lives and continue to move forward and grow. Amen? Amen. So that's some of the things that we're talking about here as being a godly father. We talk about nurturing and the admonition of the Lord. Amen. And it's important that we're shaping and molding the minds of our children as fathers. It's the greatest responsibility God has really given us, because this thing is a legacy. This will be our legacy, because our children's children that operate, and our children's children's children will know who Christ is. We will know the God of the Bible because of the foundation that we laid. And that's our greatest accomplishment. You know, we can have a lot of stuff and things and inheritances and leave them houses and cars and all the things we do after we're gone. But will they remember you as a godly man? My father's father was a godly man. Can we go three generations and they all know who we were? We look at the word of God. It says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob knew of Abraham because of his father. So he knew his father's father. So I ask every man that's listening today, are we talking about being a godly father? Will your children's children know you? Will they know the God that you serve? And will they have will your faith be, or you, that Abraham in your bloodline, that it can begin with you? If your father was saved, was a godly man, then it comes to you, and you have a responsibility to pass that on. And if he was not, you have a responsibility that can start now, because if you're listening here, if you heard the gospel, you're in the body of Christ, there's a responsibility that you now carry to set a legacy for your children, for your bloodline. Amen? Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can listen online by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Also, if you're listening online, you can call in at 646-668-2636 and press 1 on your keypad if you'd like to share some wisdom or insights on what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about godly fathers. Amen. We're going to continue on, and we're going to go with the next subject we're going to talk about, area we're going to discuss here, is the godly father does not provoke his children to wrath. And I think we talked about that in Ephesians chapter 6, but I want to go to another scripture real quick here. I want to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. And there it talks a little bit about discouraging. I want to flip to that. Hold on here. Again, I have a paper Bible, so it takes a minute here to flip through the pages. Amen. Amen. But again, we encourage you to come and listen to join in the conversation and share your insights at any time you want. You're pressing 1 on your keypad. Okay, we're going to Colossians chapter number 3, and I'm going to verse number 21. And the Word of God says here, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children unless they become discouraged. And that discouragement and that wrath is producing our children, and that, they can get a lot of that from us. It could be a lot of, it could be the way we talk to them. It could be the way we treat them. You know, we come home, we're tired, we've worked all day, and we don't take time to talk to them, to encourage them. And even some, we fussing, we angry, there's always something going on. And again, I take this all the way back to what I mentioned earlier, that as husbands and fathers, we set the atmosphere in our homes. And we have to be conscious of that. No matter how bad our day was, no matter what our struggles and our burdens are, we have to set the atmosphere in the home. And we have to be continually working at that and be conscious of it. You know, I know some brothers come home from work and they come in and they sit and they take a few minutes. But then we know that sometimes that it's just hard. And but again, I pray that you pray it out. You sit in the car a couple minutes. You take a deep breath, because I drive in traffic, so I understand. You're jumping on the highway and jumping in the house and something's coming at you and how you respond to it. But again, you have to get yourself and your mindset right. And when we talk about, and also I want to talk about discouragement, is making reasonable demands on our kids. You know, and then as we're raising them up, and as they go through their adolescence years their grade school years, those demands on them, you know, when even in school, you know, we have to know who our kids are and what they're capable of, and know when to push them and encourage them, and know when to come alongside and help them. Because, you know, we can discourage them even in education if they're not getting it. And we have to find ways to help them get it. That goes to tutoring or whatever. if we can't get it done or get through to them, are we doing those things? But, you know, instead of just fussing at them for having C's and D's or failing a class, do we take the time to figure out and find out what's going on? Do they already really get me? Are they understanding what the teacher's teaching? You know, do they need extra help or whatever? But we don't just go into, you know, punishing and chastising them for not achieving something we think they should do. But do we really know? Like, we spend time to understand where our children are in the learning process. You know, because nowadays there's old knowledge that, you know, kids learn different ways. And do we know the way that our kids learn? That's just the example I'm going to use. Also, you know, for adult children, you know, when they make mistakes. I go with the parable of the prodigal son. Our kids, adult kids, they may make bad choices, but how do we handle it? How do we respond to it? I understand we're not going to compromise with sin. We're not going to compromise with bad decisions, but are we in a place where we're helping to restore them back to a place, even after they failed, even after they've made mistakes or made a bad choice when we knew they was making a bad choice, but at the time they wasn't receiving from us, but now how do we receive them back? Or do we hold it over their head, constantly tell them, you know, or constantly berating them for their mistakes? Or do we let their mistakes, let them learn from it and help them to move on? Because again, sometimes folk get, you know, when they make mistakes, and it's always there to encourage them, or is there discouraging them? This is how people sink into deep depressions. They have mental issues, they have self-esteem issues. All these things can come by how we as fathers handle them. And are we discouraging them or are we encouraging them? And especially through failure. Sometimes it's easy to encourage them when they're doing well. But in failure, how do we respond to them? How do we punish? Do we go over the board? And I talk about our minor children. I'm going to go back to our minor children now. Even our punishment and correction, are we going overboard? You know, it's something I learned a long time ago. I believe it was in a parenting class. You know, you never discipline in anger. And I think that's something we really have to understand and teach and make sure that people understand that our anger or the situation or the choices or the repercussions or whatever it is, that's not where we come when we want to punish and set punishment. It's not that we don't punish and we don't discipline. However, we can't do it in anger and we control. Because, you know, we know now and we see it that, you know, because of that anger and how people respond to stuff, we go overboard. And that's how we get into the area of child abuse and neglect and all kinds of other things because we're so angry and we're lashing out. And that's not a good place to be either as men of God. And also, and when we talk about, you know, belittling them constantly in the negative, telling them, you know, that they're worthless, they're no good. You know, we've been rating them because of things they've done. You know, we say it, it's easy now when we talk about it and catch it, and we think no one does that. But there are people who do that, and as men of God, we have opportunity to teach a younger generation not to do it. Even again, as we evangelize and go out into the world, we're going to come into contact with families and fathers, and this is something that's normal. Because again, they may have been where they were raised or how they were taught or what they picked up in their life, but now as men of God, we have to be able to speak to men and help our young fathers learn how to control that thing. And that's not the way to speak to their children. But again, we have to be in a place where we're mature men and we're standing and we're able to minister. And that's why, again, these are some of the reasons when we talk about fathering and fathering skills. You know, most people are never taught to be parents. They just become parents. But in the body of Christ, we have opportunity to mentor and disciple young men and young parents and young fathers and teach them how. I know in the culture today, there's a lot of fathering classes out there, but the church should be the first fathering class. And we should be in place as men of a certain age and a certain maturity level that we're prepared and ready to speak into them and share some of the mistakes we made and some of the things that they're going to come up against as father, and so that they don't have to go through and struggle with it. So, again, as we're talking about fathers here, we're not provoking our children to wrath and belittling them with words and punishing them excessively and just being in our anger. You know, when we don't want to raise our children, they're resenting us and hating us and all the other little things that can come about by the way we treat our parents. Excuse me. Amen. Excuse me, as we treat our children. And are we as parents? the things we do, and sometimes we repeat things that our parents did that were not necessarily good. Amen. I think that's the first thing we have to be able to understand and overcome ourselves, that maybe our parents didn't do it all right, but then again, they did the best they could, did what they knew. But us, we have opportunity to know better, to learn better, because we have the Word of God to instruct us. If we would take time to understand it, and we would take time to glean from those who have wisdom and experience around it. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. And tonight we're talking about the Godly Father. I'm touching on some of the principles and some insights and sharing some wisdom about being a father in the home, being a father to our children, that we are needed in the lives of our children. We discipline them with love. We need to be present in their lives to shape and mold them. We are to love their mother and our wives. And I'm well aware of the culture and the things that people go through, but the mother of our children, we should treat them in the best way that we can, because our children, again, our sons and our daughters see that. And that's how they glean off of that. They're gleaning something off it, especially if it's negative. They're learning that, then that can be their normal, and we don't want that. Amen? Amen. So we're going to move on now. We're going to move on to, let me see where I am. We'll move on to a godly father. This is to be the spiritual leader in the home. Now, we talked about this before. Again, about being a leader in the home spirit, taking that time for the spiritual growth and development of our children. And that's something that we have to first do ourselves. We have to be in a place where we're studying the Word of God, we're in prayer, we're fasting, we have an understanding of the Word, we're part of ministry, we're part of the things of God as God reaches out to communities. And we are teaching our children the importance of being and spiritual, and spiritually led, and understanding what it means to pray. Are we teaching our children to pray? Teaching our children how to pray? Teaching our children when to pray? And we have the examples here. I want to touch on a couple of examples of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, I believe it is. Let me, again, I have the paper Bible here. Let me flip real quick to Acts chapter number 10. Let's talk about Cornelius, because he was a man who was a believer. Let me see here. Cornelius is sent in the delegation. It's, chapter 10, verse number 2. He's a devoted man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Amen. He was a centurion. He was an Italian. He was of the Roman occupation, but he believed the God of Israel. And that's where it all starts. That was opportunity there. That he, because of how he did, and then God sent Peter to his home to speak to him, to give him insight, and to meet with him. And Peter came and ministered to his home so that he became to understand who Christ was. But he set the standard in his home. And even though he was not a Jew by birth, but he believed the God of Israel, and the scripture points on that. So the man who serves in the church must first be the spiritual leader in his home. And this is one of the things he teaches, I believe, Paul wrote to Timothy, about the standard to leaders in the home. But, you know, I was in a Bible group, study group one time a couple years back, and we took that example of Paul wrote to Timothy with standards for deacons and pastors and elders. And we took and studied that thing to make that the standard for all of us, every man, every godly man, every God-fearing, God-believing, Holy Ghost-filled man. These are the standards that he should aspire to. And he's not looking necessarily for the title, but these are where he should be from wherever he begins, from the day of salvation, to accepting Christ and grow to be able to enter these standards. Because these are the first thing. If you're never ordained or hands are laid on you, but this should be the norm. And that was what I remember back then. That was what we really was talking about. Setting these standards, setting these chalk marks, these standards and boundaries in our life to what we want to achieve spiritually. And those standards that Paul wrote to Timothy for the pastor and deacons was the standard that men were to achieve too. And it wasn't like a training process, but it was a Bible study to understand what God wanted, what God's call for us was, and the standard he was looking for. you know, and then defining what it means to be a Christian man. So those are some of the standards that we talked about there. Because God is going to choose, he's going to judge each of our hearts. He's going to judge each of what we do. You know, if we stand before God, God's going to hold us accountable for our children, for our wives, how we treated them, how we supplied, how we supported them, all of these things. So the word, that's why we have here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we want to, you know, we want to reinforce, we want to stir up the spirit in men to realize that God is, that God has put you in a place. He's given you a family. He's blessed you with children. He's given you a wife, and it's for a reason. And that is to extend his kingdom. Because, again, the family is the extension of what God called to minister to this earth, that we will start with our families, and then our families will go out and minister to the lost. But we as men have a responsibility to be able to teach. We are a spiritual leader in our home, that we teach our children to pray, that we pray for our families, that we're interceding for our families, that we are going before God for the needs of our children and our families. And we're continually to do that thing, even when we may not see the answer right now, but we know that we're planting seeds. We're planting seeds of faith in our children, and we're praying, and we're holding them up before God continuously that he might do a work. And then until they come into the knowledge and come into that place and purpose that God has created them for, that they're under covering and protection of his grace. So we're covering them with prayer. I believe it was in Job that it talks about Job prayed for his sons and daughters. They may not have had sin, but he continuously prayed for them anyway, that they be watched, that God will watch over them and bless them and protect them. Amen. Well, we have a couple more here, and we have a couple more minutes here. Again, if you're listening, you called in at 646-668-2636. You press 1 on your keypad. You can share your insights and wisdom for some of the things we're talking about tonight. There's a godly father. And we'd like to have you share your insight and your wisdom. Amen. The next one we're going to talk about is, as a godly father, we have to be able to set the right example before our children. You know, we have to be a living letter, living epistles for our children. And when the scripture talks about being known and read by all men, it must start with our children, especially our children. You know, we talked about this earlier, but we have to be a godly example and role model. We have to be the first godly example and role model for our children to see. You know, we have to, you know, just be the pastor and the other men in the church, but we have a greater responsibility because if you look at it, we spend more time with our children, and they have to see that thing sometime worked out. Because seeing the pastor, you know, on Sunday or Bible study or even their Sunday school teachers, seeing them through this year, we talk about the hours, we talk about 6 hours a week. All the rest of those hours, they're seeing us. And again, our children are gleaning from us. They're gleaning their faith. They're gleaning their Christian walk. They're picking up a lot of the things that we do and our moral standards and what we teach and what we say and what we do. And this is what they see as what it means to be a Christian. We profess Christ, and then they're watching and see what that looks like. So we have to be on God and be that example when it comes to things. Even when the things go wrong, when things are just not right, when there's difficulties, and we have to be able to, you know, impress upon them that God is in control. Just the fact that God, even when things are going wrong, that God is in control. And, you know, it's some of the things that we do sometimes even as fathers and parents. Do our children see us pray? Do they see us studying the Word, reading the Word together as a family? Do we read the Word together, family? Do we have a walk? We have certain standards in our home and what we watch and what we do. Do we have a biblical discussion? Do we discuss, not necessarily preach, but do we discuss the Word of God? You know, I said this earlier in the program about, you know, discussing what was heard on the Sunday, in the Sunday message. Because everybody, I can tell you, if you have more than, you know, one person in your family, everybody heard something else different or took something else different from the sermon that was preached on that week. And that's an opportunity for the family to interact and engage each other and teach and understand and get a better understanding. Amen? Examples also in the home is of love and respect and understanding, how we handle difficult times. If we have a plan, if there's, you know, structure and how we deal with issues, challenges, meeting. You know, sometimes some folk have family meetings, discuss some of the issues. Some folk that come together, you know, we have how we set children, how you set what's the word I'm looking for here? The routine in the home. That's something that can be discussed and be set. that their children to feel secure and safe. Trust me, because I know that children feeling secure and safe is one of the things a lot of children do not have in their homes. Their sense of security, the sense of safety. You know, there's so much stuff going on sometimes in the homes that children don't even like to be home. And we see that a lot. But if we look back, we see where there's children out all times of night doing all kinds of things because they don't want to go home. There was a time when the home was a safe place, but not everyone's home is a safe place. But us as men of God, we have to make our home that place, a safe place, a haven. Amen? And we set the standards of morality. And that's another thing that we have to be able to, that all of our children should get from the home, the standard of morality. It may not, they may make bad choices, but they have to understand that there is a standard and that we hold and that they're accountable to that standard. Because there's always consequences for failure, consequences for stepping out of the bounds. But are we clear and that they understand the standard and know there's going to be consequences? And then do we follow through, whatever those may be, especially in the raising of our children? I talked before about having a reasonable punishment, not excessive punishment for wrongdoing, but punishment that's going to correct behavior and correct thinking. Some of it is behavior and some of it is thinking. And we have to know how to balance that thing out as fathers. Again, that's why we pray as men. We pray for the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives us to be the father that we need to be for the given circumstance and the situation. Amen? Amen. And one of the other examples in the church, again, are we attending? Do we attend the services? Do we show respect to our leaders and our pastors? You know, because, again, you have the issues of discussing issues. Well, I won't say discussing issues, I'll say, but we say negative things about leaders in the church, and our children hear that. And they hear that, and then they, for some reason, will act out, or they won't have the respect and reverence for the position, or the pastor, or the leader, or the youth leader, or the deacon, or the elder, or whatever, or even just the other parents in the church. But they, again, they glean that from us. They glean how we handle it is what they glean off, and the attitudes that we have about the church, these are the attitudes they take home with them. Amen. In the reverence for worship, again, worship, you know, worship is used a lot of different definitions in the Word of God, but do we understand? Do we teach our children what it means to worship? Do they have an understanding of worship? How do they worship? How do they gain their worship style? Do they see you in worship? Or, you know, like a pastor, I know a lot of pastors that say it a lot of time, you know, in times of worship, some people are just sitting there. They're just sitting on their seats, sitting on their hands, and again, our children see that. And then they're gleaning off of that, or what it really means to be worship. A time of worship, a time of praise, and do they understand what that means? And again, there's some of the examples that we set in the church. Are we working with the church? Are we being part of the church? And the person, are we serving? And that's one of the things. Do our children see us serving in the church, or do we just come on Sunday, and that's it? We do 3 hours a week, and that's all we do at church, and that's all we do. But are we part of ministries within the church and some of the auxiliary? Amen? I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I thank you for joining me tonight. I pray that something was said tonight that would encourage you, that would continue in your role as a father. And again, we encourage you to join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. for Issues Christian Men's Talk. I want to close with this quote from Charles Stanley's book, A Man of God, because we want to define, we want to put a definition of what it means to be a man. Because the culture today is trying to change, redefine man, re-image man, what it means to be a man. But I'm going to go with this one because, again, Dr. Charles Stanley wrote in his book, Man of God. It says, a man is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitudes and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. And he understands that he has a responsibility to grow and develop in those areas. I thank you for joining me tonight. Join us again on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Very soon.
Heaven sent me out. Very wonderful, supernatural.